Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, listeners, Kevin and I need your help.
Yes, we need your help. Please, please, please. We need your stars. We need your reviews, you guys, on iTunes so we can start to climb those iTunes rating charts.
It's simple. Open iTunes, click on the iTunes store, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on ratings and reviews. Under the customer reviews, click write a review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
If you need some help, think of 1 star being Carol Channing and Paul Lynn in the Road Company of the last 5 years, and 5 stars being free front row tickets to Hamilton. Although, when you think about it, I actually would give 5 stars to the Road Company of Carol Channing and Paul Lynn in the last 5 years, because I think that would be awesome.
I would love to hear, can I hear Moving Too Fast as Paul? that's the one I really want.
She's a chick's the goddess. Been through Erica Schwartz and Danica Weiss and the Handelman twins.
So there you go. You can also leave a comment if you like.
That's it. That's
your reviews.
It.
Send us
Thank
your
you.
Reviews,
Please.
Friends.
Thank you.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
Hi, I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is our favorite things.
Yay.
Happy Throwback Thursday.
Hashtag TBT.
Hashtag Rob. TBT KDT.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, I like the acronyms.
You do like the acronyms.
I do. I always like it if you're.
RWS.
Heard... RWS. That's
yeah.
my acronym.
Yeah.
I always like when you go to like all that chat or you read one of those boardrooms and it's like AFT. A funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Right,
do you know what I mean?
Like,
it's like
right.
AFO.
Like, how does H?
Just say forum.
2S.
Dollar
in
sign.
Business. Yeah, dollar sign. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just tell me what it is.
You, hey,
what is it?
Do you know I'm directing
how
that?
How does it seem in business? You are? You're doing how does it seem in business?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm doing a concert at Feinstein's 54 Below.
Where you are the programming.
Where I'm at one of the programming producers.
That's awesome, right?
I love it. I am a lucky man.
It's and a great we're show.
It is.
Confession, though.
Yes.
I did not care for the Daniel Radcliffe production.
Did you not care for Daniel Radcliffe?
I very rarely have opinions on this podcast, but I'm going to have one here because I
you
know,
share your opinion.
I felt like it was a little. It lacked a little bit.
Did you not like him?
I did not care for him.
You did not care for
him?
I
thought he seemed utterly charming, and from what I know of him, people that know him, he is utterly charming and sweet and cool, and you want to hang out with him, and he's awesome.
Yeah.
But as a singing, dancing Robert Morris character from the he would play the original Pierpont.
Yeah.
And as this like charismatic, he had the charisma, but he lacked a little bit in the dancing and acting, singing acting department. It's one thing to act, but when an actor is not used to singing acting, it's a little different because you have to sustain the idea. Not to nerd out here, but you have to think a little bit differently when you're singing and telling a story because you're holding a note sometimes and you have to make that still interesting, or you have to like have phrasing and all these other things that, a lot of people take for granted, but you train years and years and years for to do in musical comedy.
Got it.
And this is it was a classic musical comedy that I just was a little failing for me.
You were not a happy man.
I was not a happy man.
You did not feel they succeeded in business.
I appreciated all of the work that was going on stage, and I'm glad a lot of people had work, but
that was just not.
I wanted more from that.
Okay.
Because I love the show, and I'm so excited that you're going to be doing it.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm very excited. It was just on, as you were saying, it was just on Broadway recently, but we're excited by it. We think it's going to be a lot of
fun.
When
is that going to be?
June 5th.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and we're seeing if we can get people from all different casts to be a part of it. You know, one
Robert
of the best.
Robert Morris.
Oh, if from your. Did I tell you he called me?
What?
Musical Theater Heaven, because I was doing a I was doing a concert for 54 Below, and I wanted to see if he was around. So I emailed. This is classy. I emailed his agent.
Yeah.
To see if he was interested, and one day I get a phone call from an 818 number.
You're like,
I'm like, who's this? Because it's probably like somebody from my family.
Right. Because you live on the West Coast.
Yeah. And I pick up, and I'm like, hello. And he goes, is this Robert Schneider? And I'm like, yes. He goes, Robert Morse. And I was just like, ah!
You're like, yes!
I was like, yes, queen! Yes!
And then you were like, yes, this is Robert. Yes,
get
hello.
It! Get it! And I'm like, yes, can I help you?
Hey, hi, Mr. Morris.
And he couldn't do the concert, but he wanted to call and explain why he wasn't able to do it.
What a classy
and
guy.
And how much he was looking forward to hearing how successful it was. Aww. And I was just like, what a
thank you
classy guy. What a classy guy.
He's in the O.J. Simpson TV show.
He talked about that.
He
talked about that. He's like, yeah. He's like, I don't know if you watch, but I just did this. I'm like, what do I, please? Please, do I watch?
God bless. That's
but I
amazing.
Thought that was so cool.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, maybe he can.
I would like, you know what I really want to do?
Yeah.
I want him to do the reader. I want to see if we can record him doing the reader.
That's smart.
Because
then he could just do that from L.A., and then you could just
he could
it
do
in.
It from L.A. You know who one of the best Finches I ever saw was?
Who?
Josh Grassetti.
Oh, my gosh.
In L.A.
He's an old poker buddy of mine.
Oh, I thought he was so funny.
He's such a brilliant actor. Yeah.
He was
we
so
need
good.
More of him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a very golden age sensibility about him. I mean, he can do anything. I think he's just so wonderful. But did you see It Should Have Been You?
I did not.
He was charming in that.
Was
he's just a great actor.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to say, but I'd love to get him for the concert.
Shoot.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I'm working on.
Cool.
What about you?
Cool, cool, cool.
Living the dream?
Living the dream. Teaching, playing piano. I'm auditioning too.
That's right.
I do. I'm still auditioning. Yeah.
Do you do monologues? Do you any of those little monologues that I love?
Oh, what monologues?
Oh, you know, from like, this is fresh in my mind because I was just having auditions.
Like your like dog dying monologue
Or
something?
You know, my favorite's like, this is a monologue from, you know, Marcia and
Boy's
Mary.
Life.
Marcia and Mary go to the mall and it's magical. Mary, why didn't you buy that dress? You know I wanted to buy that dress to go to prom with Tom with. How could you do that, Mary? I guess we're not friends anymore. You know, like monologues like that?
Oh, great.
Do you do those?
No, but I'm going to put that into the repertoire. And they're like, what are you going to be singing for us? And I'm going to say, you know what? Actually, guys, I'm not going to sing today. I'm going to do a monologue for you.
Marcia and Mary go to the mall and it's magical by Arthur Miller.
Yes. Please.
Yes. Well, good for you.
You know, it's been good. Been busy.
Get on that stage.
Get on it.
Get on that stage.
There.
If you haven't seen Kevin perform, Kevin is a brilliant performer. So hire him. Take advantage of him.
Yes, please.
Charming. He's very charming on stage. speaking of charming things on stage, Kevin, I don't know. Maybe your show isn't charming, so I shouldn't say that.
I actually don't have a show today.
What do you have, Kevin?
I have a book.
We
haven't really done books
yet. That was a double take for
you.
What? A book?
Yeah, I do.
I can't read.
This is a really, really fun book. This book was recommended to me by... So when I did Les Mis, the first little hiccup of a revival, I call it, Gary Beach was in it.
I think I know what the book is.
You do?
I think I do.
Because Gary Beach was the only person in that cast that... Because not everyone that does Broadway shows is a big fan of Broadway, like loves talking about it like we do.
Yeah, it's
like,
a job.
It's a job.
Why
go
home and talk about your job?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I love to talk about it too.
Yeah.
And not talk about it, but if I find someone that really loves it, then it's fun. So Gary Beach was that person in the show.
And
he was...
Gary is best known for...
Well, he was in The Producers. He was, you know, he was in...
He's Roger Debris, the director, right? He's in the movie, too.
He's in the movie as well. He reprised it. And then he also was in, you know, Lumiere in the first Beauty and the Beast on stage. I'm sure he really, like, with that French accent. But so Gary was like, you've got to read this book. If you love show business, this book is amazing. What is the book?
The book is Diary of a Mad Playwright by James Kirkwood.
James Kirkwood, best known for A Chorus Line. He wrote that. I recommend this book to people of the showbiz and not in the showbiz. If you want a glimpse of what the industry can be like with legends, check out this book. So Diary of a Mad Playwright is his autobiographical account of putting together a play that he wrote called Legends! And the Legends, the play, the fictional Legends, is about two feuding old ish, over the hill, what do they call it, of a certain age, actresses, and they have a feud, but this producer's trying to turn this into a hit, that this show, they're an out-of-town tryout, and they're trying to make it into a hit, and it's all the things that go wrong and right and all of that. Well, it turns out that the tour of this production of Legends, the real thing, that starred Carol Channing and Mary Martin, who were two actresses who kind of followed the plot of the play. I mean, it was kind of life imitating art in a way. And James Kirkwood kept a diary of his experience as a playwright for this production that was set to tour for a year and then move to Broadway and then play the Broadway with these two amazing legends, Mary Martin and Carol Channing. I mean, what better people? And so this book is a chronicle of him, you know, trying to get funding for the play, him courting Mary Martin and going after her, and she would not do it because she was retired and she didn't have her memory as well anymore. Yeah. And so it was, and then, you know, and Carol Channing being Carol Channing and him trying to get Mike Nichols to direct, and then he wouldn't do it, and he finally got it direct. And it was just this crazy business that is show and his experience out of town with these ladies and also trying to get to the Broadway, and which it never did.
And the play, am I correct in saying it's about two older, like you said,
yeah,
older
like
actresses
sort of faded
who
stars.
They're trying to get back.
That's right. To make them stars again in a way.
Yeah,
to
get them reunited.
You're trying to lure them into the play.
It's kind of like a female Sunshine Boys.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And yet, when it toured in 86-87 season, it was one of the biggest hits on the road.
Yeah.
Huge hit. Didn't make back all the money for the investors, but they had planned on going to Broadway. But they never did because, you read the book and you find out that, you know, Mary Martin, one of her speeches was cut. And this is after the show has been running. They're constantly going to James and being like, I don't like this line. Cut this line. And bless the man, he kept trying to fix it and retool it and make it for them. The producers wanted to cut this one big speech, this breast cancer speech that Mary Martin had. And when they did that, she said, well, I'm not going to Broadway then. Mary Martin famously had an earpiece. This is one of the first times that, you know, an older actress maybe had that because you couldn't remember all your lines. There's a story in the book about how, like, Mary Martin says, you know, Carol Channing says her line to her and Mary Martin goes, what? But she's talking to her prompter, not to Carol. But Carol still says the line again. Wait, I just have to read for you one little excerpt.
Please, read
this
an excerpt.
Now, this is in the first person. This is James Kirkwood speaking, okay? And this is just one little tidbit. He says, my favorite hassling onstage moment, meeting from the audience, occurred during one matinee while I was sitting out there with friends. Toward the end of the second act, when the doorbell rings, announcing the arrival of Martin Clemmer, Gary, the character, Mary Martin is suddenly shy of facing him, her character, and eventually says as she crosses towards the bedroom, I'm going to hide under the bed. Carol says, oh, stop. You've been doing that for years. Well, this afternoon, there was a small laugh before Mary's line, and although I heard her say it, and so did the audience, Carol didn't hear it clearly enough and called out to Mary, say the line. Mary stopped walking, turned, and asked, what line? Carol said, the line you say what you're going to do. James says, I could not believe this was going on, but go on it did, as Mary then replied, I just said it. Carol snapped, I didn't hear it. Say it again. Mary looked her right in the eye and announced it in a loud, clear voice. No. All right, said Carol. I'll say it for you. You were going to say you were going to hide under the bed, weren't you? I already said it, Mary said. I looked at the audience, mostly matinee ladies, who were turning their heads from one legend to the other as if they were watching a tennis match. I wondered what they thought. Is this part of the play? Are they doing it for real? My friends leaned over and said, what was that all about? There's just a little glimpse.
On stage.
Into Diary of a Mad Playwright.
So wait a minute. So Gary Beach was the male lead in the show.
Gary was in it. That's why Gary told me about
so
it.
Yeah, so Gary...
Of course, that's the most important anecdote of this, is that Gary's like, it's all true. Gary,
that's what I...
So,
it's
sorry,
all true.
Yes. So that when Gary... Jeez. I would hang out in his dressing room, and he was like, this really did... He's like, actually, Kevin, it was worse than that. He doesn't even capture all of the... with the real fire underneath, because they would be so fake with each other, because they knew they had to get this done. But then sometimes they would, like Real Housewives, they would just snap, you know. And then, you know, allegedly.
As our lawyers tell
allegedly,
us.
Allegedly. Our lawyers say allegedly. But that, you know, Mary liked the sauce a little bit. And so Carol would call her out. The book talks about this all the time. Carol would call her out for that. Be like, well, I'm not sharing the stage with her if she's going to be drunk every night and doesn't know her lines.
Oh.
You know, because as we know from the other time that we talked about Pearl Bailey and Carol Channing, Carol Channing is rehearsed. She knows her piece. She knows what she
knows
likes,
her shit,
and she likes to do it the same way every time. If she's like, Mary didn't cross here, she's supposed to cross to the chair there. You know, it was like,
oh,
that. That kind of stuff.
I love directing when you get actors like that.
Yeah,
that it's like in school tattling.
Right, you're like,
she didn't say it that way last time.
She crosses on the word the. She did not cross. She crossed on the word and. But you're like, guys,
worry about your own shit. Please
just listen and react.
But you know what? I have to ask you because. Have you read the actual play?
No, I haven't.
I read it. Because I read the book, and then I was like, I probably should read the play. And I got a bootleg copy of it.
Yeah.
It was a bootleg of the actual performance.
Oh, you of Carol and Mary?
Yes.
I've
seen it.
Oh,
I think I might have
God,
it somewhere.
Rob.
Yeah. In their defense, it's not a good play.
Really?
And it sounds horrible to say. The
like,
play
is like a Pulitzer Prize winning, you know. I love it, too.
It's no
hey,
Agnes
human.
Of God. It's no Agnes of God, but it's up there. It's not a good play. And I hate... he's passed, and I hate to... But
he passed, actually, before his book was even published.
It's just not good. It's not good. It's not interesting. And if you watch it, it's honestly their personalities.
That you kind of live for.
That elevate.
And they've tried to revive it. I remember when I was on tour in 2005, it was playing with, like, Linda Evans or, like,
and
Joan Collins.
Yeah. It was a Dynasty thing.
Yeah.
And they thought they would make money or they would try to... The play's just not very...
Interesting. Yeah.
Good. The play is not very good. And it's... I went back to the Sunshine Boys, but it's very similar to that, which is, you know, oh, show business has hardened these people and what goes on underneath the surface of that, and it just wasn't very interesting or compelling.
Well, it's you know what is interesting and compelling is this book. I mean, like
the book is
this
great.
This journey of courting them, of the hijinks that go on. It's filled with photos and reviews, and you really get an insider's look to what the business is like, really.
Yeah.
Especially with these two women who, you know, were at the top of their game. Probably were not as at the top of their game at this time period, but still carried that with them. You know, they still carried themselves as the divas that they rightfully are.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, also what's really interesting is that the both of them are stretching so much in the play.
Yes.
Because Carol Channing has been playing Dolly at this time for years and years and years and years, and that's the persona she's known for. And the character in the play is the total antithesis of that.
Yeah.
She's not scatterbrained. She's very manipulative. And Mary Martin, who hadn't been on stage in years. Also has this very hard edge.
Mm-hmm.
Her character has a very hard edge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're doing their usual shtick in a different
play.
Oh,
yeah.
This is challenging. It's very challenging because they're so out of their wheelhouse on it.
And I can't imagine that, you know, that risk. And it was like a 32-city tour. And in the book, he says that means 32 times there was an opening night. They had to go through those reviews. And these women, as legendary as they are, they were not, you know, they were affected by those reviews, you know, negative and positive.
Absolutely. And
you
that
know,
must
you see that, a firsthand account of it.
Oh, yeah. And it's tough. But the book is great. The book is absolutely fantastic. I'm so happy that was... The recommendation. I think it's so
Diary
good.
Of a Mad Playwright by James Kirkwood. Check it out.
And I feel like at some point they did one with Charles Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was in drag doing it or something like that. Good play.
Good.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Good play.
What do you have for me?
Well, this one is a real throwback Thursday.
Oh.
June 1st, 1986 marks a 30-year anniversary.
1986.
June 1st, 1986.
30-year anniversary.
This year, 2016, will be the 30-year anniversary of this event. It was...
Cool event?
Yes. The night of the 1986 Tony Awards. But it is also the night that yours truly fell in love with the theater.
Really?
Yes.
You were like three.
Oh, I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to post a photograph, because nobody ever believes me when I tell them this. There is a photograph of me, 3 years old,
mm-hmm.
wearing my diaper, obviously, which I still wear today.
Good.
And my small Le Cajofol t-shirt.
Oh, gosh.
Watching the Tony Awards.
Bless your parents.
Bless my parents.
They're like, honey, what should we put him in today? Hey, let's do the Le Cajofol
t-shirt. Let's do the
Le
Cajofol shirt.
And let's put on the Tonys.
And that's really what this one is about. It's taking a moment to appreciate. If you're listening to this, hopefully your parents were supportive in your endeavors.
I hope so too.
And this is my way of telling my family how much I appreciate everything that they've done.
Yeah.
Because I cannot imagine any other parents being like,
What's on tonight?
The Tony Awards.
Oh, really? What's that?
Yeah, what is that? Why is he wearing the Lacoste shirt? Where's his baseball jersey?
Exactly.
And the 1986 Tony Awards is the reason that I fell in love with the theater. So this is what happened. My parents put it on. Let me go back a little bit.
Yeah.
I grew up in Brooklyn.
I forget that because I always think of you as a West Coast.
Yeah, and I think of myself so much as an LA person.
But grew up in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and one of the things...
What neighborhood in Brooklyn?
Sheepshead Bay.
Okay.
Yeah, Nostrand and U. And one of the things that my mom used to do was the Sunday New York Times, she would like... I don't know how I got into this. Oh, I know. One of the movies she made me watch when I was like two or three, because we didn't watch like... I didn't watch like typical, you know, Sesame mm-hmm. Street or Mr. Yeah. Rogers. Singing in the Rain. And they were making a musical of Singing in the Rain that was mm-hmm. going to go on Broadway. And my mom was like, oh, look, in the newspaper, there's an advertisement for the movie that you like. And mm-hmm. it was the New York poster, Singing in the Rain. And I was like, can I have that? So my parents, when I was like two and a half, three, drove to New York, Schubert Alley.
Yeah.
They got me a Singing in the Rain poster.
Oh, my goodness.
And
did
then
you go with them?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Because I was so mesmerized by all the marquees that every weekend my parents would drive me to New York and I would sit in the back seat and they would go up and down the Broadway streets and they would show me the marquees. And people don't believe me, but there are videos.
That is really special.
There are videos of this. There are actual like videos of this.
So you saw some good marquees too.
Oh my God, yeah. So I mean, everything from like the mid-80s, I remember vividly.
42nd Street, all that.
Oh,
Leroy Reams and 42nd
Street.
Well, sorry.
No. Please.
Jumping ahead.
And so we would get the posters for the shows, and then I would make my
show posters.
The 14 by 20, and I would make my dad line them up for me in the living room by order of what street they were on.
Oh yes.
So you know what I mean?
Oh,
so
totally.
So my parents just like a map. And so my parents were really awesome about this. So watch the Tony Awards. And the 1986 Tony Awards, fully available on YouTube. I encourage everybody to look at it because that's the 40th anniversary of the Tony Awards that year. And so what they did was they sang a little snippet of every song that won from Best Musical, sometimes with the original performers, mm-hmm. like David Wayne sang from Finian's Rainbow, mm-hmm. which was really cool. And they did performances from Edwin Drood and Big Deal and Song and Dance, right? And all those.
Yeah.
But the one thing they do that's really, really cool was in order to celebrate the 40 years of Best Plays as well, they brought back as many people as they could find who originated roles in those Best Plays, and they spoke like one line from the play in a little montage series. So it was like Jose Farrar doing Cyrano, David Wayne doing Mr. Roberts, mm-hmm. Maureen Stapleton. And that's how I learned about the theater.
Wow. What a great year to have seen, too.
Because it's a history lesson. That's completely. You learned about all the musicals, and you learned about all the plays. And then as I was growing up, because I watched that VHS tape
many times.
Oh, my God. Because most people were watching their, like, you know, Mr. Rogers and their Sesame Street. I was wearing out the 86 Tony Awards tape.
Attaboy.
And so for that reason, June 1st, it's the 30th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And what I want to thank my parents for is that they videotaped me watching the Tony Awards. So there's actually like...
We need that footage on our website.
Like me falling in love with theater was captured 30 years ago.
Yes, please.
So my Throwback Thursday goes to my mom and dad.
Oh,
and the 1986 Tony Awards from 30 years ago.
Wow.
But the Tony, it's all, and the broadcast is honestly great because you see all these legends. But also, it's the year like John Mahoney from Frasier wins his first Tony, his only Tony. B.B. Newworth.
Was that Big wins, River? That was 85.
No, that was 85. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then every year was a tradition that my parents would tape the Tony Awards for me. And even though we do not use, or most people don't use VHS cassettes anymore, mm-hmm. every June, my mom takes a VHS cassette and records the Tony Awards for me.
That's really
isn't that
cool.
incredible?
I love it. Good,
so
good
that's
one.
That is my throwback.
That's a real good
Thursday.
Throwback. That's a personal throwback.
It's a personal
like
one. And you know, there's a great article about the Tony Awards that Andrew Gans wrote a few years mm-hmm. ago that you can Google and stuff. But it's a wonderful broadcast.
Yeah.
Silly, campy, fun. They do that, you know, those themes that they always do. Like this theme is like cocktail party.
Not like the Bonnie Franklin theme.
No. We don't talk about the Bonnie Franklin one because that's something. No, this one is great. But what's been really cool doing this podcast is like I grew up watching Leroy Reams.
You do.
And then we get to interview Leroy Reams.
I didn't know it was that
connected. Oh yeah. Wow, oh that. Yeah. And so my mom, I'll never forget this. Like most kids had like a Superman cape. My mom made me a top hat like the one George Rose wears. In the Mystery of Edwin Drood. So that's my Throwback Thursday for my folks.
I love that.
1986 Tony Awards. So June 1st, 30th anniversary. Doing great.
Yeah.
Still have never directed Agnes of God, and I'm hoping that's going to come in.
So Dershowitz can be great.
So Joyce, Sally Struthers, and I need a young actress. Mildred Natwick, if you're still around, that would be great. We'll bring you in. So mine this year was the 1986 Tony Awards.
Good one. And mine's The Diary of a Mad Playwright by James Kirkwood.
Both a wonderful book. And you know what? If you can get a copy of the play to read,
I'm gonna check that,
that
out.
Helps. It helps a little bit as you read
it. You
don't even
context.
Need to read the play if you don't have to because it's still delicious and gossipy and dishy and all that great stuff. and all those things the young kids say, you know. LOL. JK. JK, but LOL.
Hashtag
Bitmoji. I'm Rob Schneider.
I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this was our Throwback Thursday, our favorite things.
Thanks
and we
for
will
joining us.
Thank you. And we will see you next week. Take care.
Drops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.